This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. And my very special guest this morning is Kathleen Lively. Now, Kathleen is the US Consul General in Melbourne. And Kathleen is a career American diplomat. She has been the Minister Counsellor for Management Affairs at the US Embassy in Nairobi. Prior to that, she served 3 years as the Dean of the Foreign Service Institute School of Applied Information Technology. That's a mouthful. And Kathleen has also represented the United States in Romania, the United Kingdom, Japan, Poland, and Afghanistan. And in Washington, she worked for the Undersecretary for Management and in the Bureau of Information Resource Management. She started her 30-plus years of government service as a presidential management intern at the National Institutes of Health and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. She's probably a bit too clever for this show, I reckon.
Definitely too old.
No, I think we're running a close race there. Kathleen is a Washington, D.C. native, and she holds a Bachelor and Master of Arts degrees in Public Policy from the University of Chicago, as well as a Master of Science degree in Resourcing National Security from the National Defense University's Industrial College of the Armed Forces. She is also a recipient of a Presidential Rank Award, as well as numerous State Department Superior and Meritorious Honor Awards. She enjoys her family, sports, music, animals, teaching English as a second language, chocolate. Oh, fantastic. Got to ask you, Cadbury's or Hershey's?
Oh, that's a difficult question. My non-diplomatic answer is Cadbury's.
Thank you. Okay. And Kathleen also likes the outdoors, and she's married with two adult sons. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Macca. It's really great to be here, so thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's fantastic, and it's great to have you here as our guest at Joy 94.9. Joy is 28 years old. We are the only full-time LGBTQI+ radio station in Australia, and one of around 10 in the world. And we commenced broadcasting on World AIDS Day in 1993. Can I just say, Kathleen, it's so refreshing and exciting to have a member of our community in such an important and public role.
Thanks, Macca. You know, I'm really glad to be here, and I'm here with my wife, Sarah, and, you know, I just feel like it's great to be part of this community. I'm really, really proud of that, and I'm happy to be involved. And we had a tour, gosh, maybe a couple months ago, of the Pride Center here in Melbourne, and what a fantastic space, so inclusive, so well thought out. So happy to find you guys here as well.
And, you know, it's only slightly smaller than the San Francisco Pride Center, which is the largest in the world, but they're in two buildings.
Yeah, well, I mean, this place is fantastic. If you haven't been down here, I would recommend anybody to come in and take a look, because it's really, really nice.
It is. So I was going to say, Kathleen, as a married and an out-married lesbian, when and where did you get married?
That's an interesting question. So Sarah and I got married actually in January of 2019, so relatively recently, although we'd been together for over a decade. And I think part of that is due to how the U.S. government has progressed in terms of the way it treats, its queer members of the Civil and Foreign Service. So when we first joined, same-sex marriage wasn't really legal. It was only legal in certain states in the United States. And so the federal government didn't necessarily give all the full rights to people that were in same-sex relationships. And so in one sense, you weren't even incentivized to get married. But Hillary Clinton made some changes when she was the Secretary of State and allowed same-sex partners to receive those benefits when you served overseas. And then when the Defense of Marriage Act was struck down in 2016, basically then the State Department said, okay, now it's legal to be married. You need to get married if you want to go overseas with your partner. And so that's how we ended up.
So obviously in terms of, you know, being able to take your partner to events or, you know, to present your partner to, you know, other diplomats, having that official recognition and acknowledgement is very important, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and it sends a signal as well. So yeah, that it's that, you know, gay rights are human rights, and that, you know, everybody deserves to live with dignity and to be treated with respect. And I think when you get that sort of official imprimatur from the government, it does make a difference, and it really helps, I think, in our conversations with governments that may not have that same view.
Yeah, I'll probably touch on that a little bit later, because I want to know, Kathleen, you know, your sexuality and gender, have they presented any challenges for you in performing your role?
I think...
Not from your perspective, obviously.
Yeah, I think... I would say no, and I think part of it comes from being in a supportive environment and having, frankly, people that I work with and I work for who are supportive of me. You know, being a woman is a challenge in our rather patriarchal society. But I think I also find that when you are, you know, are competent, you get out there, you have confidence, you do your job, it has not been a barrier to me. Neither has being a lesbian or, you know, being a queer person as part of the government. I think, and that's changed, I believe, over time. So I think clearly as it stands now, it doesn't seem to be a barrier.
We had, I think, during the last term of President Obama, the U.S. ambassador to Australia was a gay man.
Yes.
And he was actually interviewed on Joy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you know, there's a bit of a connection there. I often wonder, you know, with diplomacy being, I suppose, officially a fairly recent art or practice, that prior to that it wasn't, I suppose we're thinking 500 years thereabouts. Diplomacy has been an official function of countries, that it's had to develop, hasn't it? That, you know, I think a lot of us, and me in particular, I find amusing diplomatic language, you know, when diplomats are talking about something that's happening, and I'm like, why don't you just say we're actually going to do this rather than beating. So how does that diplomatic language work? Do you sometimes have to second think yourself when you really want to say, well, actually this, but I'm going to phrase it this way?
Well, I think you do, but it's like anything. You have to know your audience.
Yeah.
So me sitting here talking with you about a subject that we're both comfortable with is one thing.
Yeah.
Me in official conversations with other governments about topics that can be incredibly sensitive, those things require more thought, more patience, and language, as you said, that's a little bit, shall we say, refined.
Refined.
Yes.
I could never be accused of being a diplomat.
But you're a radio host, so that's, you know, which is great.
So you've been a diplomat for 30, or you've worked in the State Department for 30 or so years. Can you briefly explain to our listeners, what is the role of a consul general?
Well, the consul general is essentially, so we know here in Australia, our embassy is in Canberra. So our ambassador, when we have one, or our chargé now, sits in Canberra, and that person is the personal representative of the president, you know, to the government in which they are accredited. And in larger missions, larger countries, there may be consulates. In this country, of course, we have three. One is in Perth, one is here in Melbourne, and one's in Sydney. And those have consul generals who are essentially, my main function is to make sure that American citizens are taken care of and to worry about their security and that they have their passports and that sort of thing. But we become an extension of the ambassador to do public outreach and reporting on the ground on what's happening in places like Melbourne, for myself personally, our consular district here is really large. So I'm responsible for the Northern Territory, for the state of Victoria, for South Australia and Tasmania. So we have to be able to make all those connections in those various, very different places in Australia.
Okay. So there's a social as well as a business focus for the role, that, you know, to, you know, your main interest, of course, is American citizens and, you know, their welfare, et cetera, in Australia. And for business, what role does that play in terms of, you know, I suppose, advocating for American businesses or supporting American businesses in Australia?
Yeah, that's a big role. Yeah. So that's, you know, trade and investment in terms of making sure the U.S., of course, is one of Australia's biggest trading partners. Certainly the amount of foreign investment from the United States and Australia is, you know, among the largest. And so making sure that U.S. businesses know the opportunities that are here, and frankly, also working with Australian businesses. We work closely, certainly in Victoria, with Global Vic in terms of companies that are in Australia that want to do business in the United States to help them to figure out the pathway to do that. And then on the opposite side, the companies that want to do business here in Australia.
It's really important, isn't it, Kathleen, that, you know, that the trade works both ways, and that opportunity and presenting those opportunities for business, you know, both Australian and Victorian businesses to access the US market, but also knowing how to access it, and vice versa for US companies here. I suppose it operates under the surface a little bit, but it's a pretty important component of the role, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, clearly we want to make sure that, you know, we're interested in freedom and human rights, but one of the things in terms of economic security and prosperity, everybody needs a decent job. And so making sure that we enable those pathways back and forth is a very major part of being a consul general.
Of course, Australia has a free trade agreement with the NAFTA agreement, but a free trade agreement with the United States. And that creates some important opportunities, I suppose. I'm actually from the automobile industry originally, so I know that two German brands operate, actually three factories in the United States, and those vehicles are exported to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We used to export cars to the US, but that sort of stopped, unfortunately. What do you think is the biggest component of that trade? Is there a sector that is the largest in terms of trade between the US and Australia? Would it be minerals? Would it be agriculture?
You know, I don't know the exact sector that's the largest. Certainly, education is a big
is a
big component of that trade. Right now, I think emerging tech is one of the things that we certainly look to increase. There's a lot of that. Certainly, a lot of emerging tech companies and entrepreneurs in Australia find their way to the United States and do business there. But I think it's a rather varied landscape of different industries as well.
Now, we're going to take a break in a moment. Just briefly before we go to the break, can you tell us how your role, and you mentioned earlier about engaging with our community and that the State Department wants, you know, that's something that's very important to the State Department, and I know to President Biden as well. How does that, you know, how do you reach out in that role to the broader community?
Well, I think, again, public engagement just writ large is a real responsibility of a consul general. But the role for myself and the queer community here, it's really not that different than any other community, whether it's Emerging Voices or young students. And you mentioned, of course, queer rights are extremely important to the Biden administration. I think it's fascinating. I'm not sure people know that basically the day that he was sworn into office, he signed an executive order that, you know, was working towards making sure that discrimination against queer people was, you know, at the top of his agenda. And then no sooner than 2 weeks after that, he signed a memorandum that was basically a directive to the Foreign Diplomatic Service, making sure that we're working with countries all around the world to work against decriminalizing, what happens with homosexuals and around the world, and looking at asylees and refugees and making sure that they're protected. So within 2 weeks of becoming president, this became something wow. really important to the administration.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca. My guest is Kathleen Lively. Kathleen is the United States Consul General here in Melbourne. So, Kathleen, you talked about President Biden in his first 2 weeks in office made some really important decisions and implemented some of those decisions with regard to the LGBTQI community. In some of the places that you've done your work, it would be fair to say those countries are probably not as welcoming to folk like you and I and our trans friends. Somewhere like Kenya or Afghanistan or even Poland, that these countries either particularly legislate against us or create an official environment that is very, very unfriendly. How do you deal with that, Kathleen?
I think it goes back to your question about diplomacy, mm-hmm. right? And I think there are times when you can make a lot of noise about an issue, and that might be the best way to move things forward. And there's other times when you have to take a much more slow and diplomatic approach. And I think it was very interesting. So having been in Kenya right before here, where homosexual acts are criminal acts,
yep.
And I think it was in 2019, it was pretty much right before I left, I think a lot of gay rights activists thought that they had moved a case to the Supreme Court and thought that it was going to be decriminalized. And in fact, the Supreme Court upheld the criminalization.
Yeah.
And so it is difficult. I will say that, like any of these societies, there are people that are working really hard to make change. And as a private person, so when you're there, so you have an official sort of approach to what's happening, but living your private life, I think, becomes difficult. And you have to be cognizant of the different ways that the societies and countries approach you being gay while not being inauthentic. And so it's a delicate balance, for sure.
It'd be a pretty difficult balance. I mean, for me, if I would say, I mean, I'm about as unlikely to become an ambassador as, I can't think of anything that would be less likely. But I would have find it difficult in dealing with, you know, counterparts or officials in that country when I knew that they were thinking privately very, very nasty thoughts and bad thoughts about me.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things is when you create a relationship with someone based on your professional competence mm-hmm. or, you know, and I'm sure you know as a member of this community, when people know you personally, it makes it a lot harder for them to think nasty thoughts about you. I mean, truly. So if you have a professional relationship that it's really productive, and you know, you invite people for dinner and you talk about whatever the topics of the day, and they get to know you as a person, that's the way you change hearts and minds in those types of societies.
I think a lot of people perhaps don't necessarily understand the process of diplomacy. And by doing that, by not understanding it, perhaps they're not giving it the importance that it deserves. Because whilst it will take longer sometimes to achieve an aim, you're actually doing it, I'd call it almost the salami slicing. You're doing it a slice at a time, you know, to establish the relationship and then make small gains. Is that a fair way to describe it?
I think it's very fair. And I would also say, you know, it takes both kinds, right? Mm-hmm. We need the people making noises and pushing at the edges and being more radical. Those are, I think, necessary to make change. I mean, you can certainly throughout, you know, gay history, there's lots of evidence of that. But you also have to do the salami slicing because change is slow. And if you want it to turn out well, you have to be thoughtful and deliberate about it. So I think both things are necessary. Mine's on the diplomatic side.
Yeah. What do you see, Kathleen, are the challenges emerging for our community in the United States? It seems to me that there's a bit of an attempt to roll back. You know, some people want to roll back the gains that we've made over the decades. How do you see the circumstance there, you know, generally?
I don't know if it's an attempt really to roll it back. I think I almost see it, you know, when we talk about the executive order of the Biden administration, it was both on sexual orientation and gender identity. Yep. And I think for our trans, you know, brothers and sisters, they are in the tough road now. And so I almost see the progression, the fight, it's sort of expanding. And I think there'll be some challenges there, but I'm confident that we'll get to the same place and to the right place. Again, I think it's about education. It's about meeting people where they are and really making that explanation that gay rights are human rights, that, you know, trans rights are human rights. And if people know you as a competent and kind person, that, you know, gets moved along.
And of course, equal means equal.
Equal does mean equal.
There's no other way. There's no other way to say it, is there?
That's right.
Now, I believe that you're going to march in Pride March this Saturday.
Yes, really.
Oh, sorry, this Sunday.
Yeah, really excited to march on Sunday. I mean, you know, who doesn't like a Pride March?
Yeah. It's the 25th year of Pride March.
That's fantastic.
So it's actually, you know, an important march, and particularly in the COVID environment. And we did have a march a couple of years ago that was pretty hot. It was 38 degrees and... Oh,
yeah. No, I'll be there. I love hot weather. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I love a Pride March, so I'm really glad to be involved.
And a couple of final questions, Kathleen. What advice or suggestions would you have for any listeners who are considering taking on a public role, perhaps not diplomacy, but, you know, a public role where, you know, they're going to be representing an organisation or a business, but also that, you know, they want to also represent their sexuality and gender?
I think, you know, authenticity is the key. You have to be, you can't be your best self unless you are your authentic self. And so be proud, be confident, show people what you can do. And I think the rest of it just follows. So, I've found that if you are yourself, people just relate much better to your message and to what you're trying to accomplish. Mm. So be confident and be proud.
And On a personal level, your partner Sarah, does she work in Melbourne? Don't say where, but does she work?
No, she's very happily just retired, so she's enjoying everything that Melbourne has to offer, which is a great city. We are really liking it.
Did she go to the tennis?
She went to the tennis pretty much every day.
Wow!
So if I wanted to find her, I would look for her at the tennis.
And your sons, where are they based around the world?
They're in the Washington D.C. area.
Okay.
So they're both out of school and working there. So hopefully one day Australia will let them come and visit. That'll be nice. So looking forward to that.
Well, you know, I'd say you might be able to help that happen. But our borders, of course, are not entirely open yet. And just finally, do you have a message for the Joy 94.9 listeners?
Well, I'm really glad to be here, and you are so lucky to have a radio station like this to listen to. And so, you know, enjoy it, and maybe I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, well, you know, you wave up to the balcony.
I will wave. Yep, I'll come up for a drink.
Fantastic. You can always get a bit of a refreshment here.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.